welcome. And Polly Pope is one of our regulars now, I think. You've been doing it so much. But we always love hearing Polly. And today it's special because she's going to talk about fueling your soul, and you need that desperately. So let's just say a prayer right now. Bow your heads. Lord, we love you, and we thank you that you've made a way for us to be here today. I pray for all the children in childcare that they'll have a great time, Lord, and that you'll just meet us here. Lord, calm our hearts and just give us ears to hear you, hearts to perceive you. And I just pray for your name and to be glorified today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So welcome, Polly.
Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Good? Good. They assigned me this topic, fueling the soul, and it's not really a one-size-fits-all kind of topic, but at the same time, there are a few common themes that I think we can all identify with. So this morning, before we jump in, I feel like the Lord's been putting this theme on my heart a lot lately. This might sound kind of cheesy, but when Kobe Bryant died a couple weeks ago, and everybody was like, wait, what? It just made me pause. Like, it doesn't matter how much money you have, how good you are at something. When your time's up, your time's up. And just knowing God's sovereignty, God's story that he's writing for all of us. And then over the past few weeks, I've just randomly lost different loved ones. And my friends have lost family members unexpectedly. And again, I just feel like I've been confronted with these situations of the brevity of life and how really every single minute counts. And so all that to say this morning, I believe that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 of us are in the room for a very important reason. I don't think this right now is an accident. And I just pray that God would really do something over this next hour and a half. You have no babies around you. You have no demands. It's just a time to come, and hopefully you'll benefit, and hopefully your soul will be filled. So just wanted to start out by saying that, and I'm thankful that I get to be here with you guys this morning. Just a reminder, I have three boys, 4, 6, and 8. Two of them are here, and then my youngest one will be here at school in the fall. So I'll have all three kids. I never thought I'd make it to this point where I could, like, all my kids are in school. Now they go until noon, which is sort of like, you know, it's fine, but it's not a huge break. But I will say there is light at the end of the tunnel. Eventually your kids will all go to school, and that's fun time. So Anyway, so let's jump in. I want to start first by asking a question. What fuels you? So I think, especially in this phase of life, just a few years ago, I remember every year on my birthday, Dave, my husband, would give me, like, the day off, and I just, like, couldn't wait for March 27th. I'm like, I don't care what I do. Like, I don't want a present. I don't want anything. I just don't want to be here. So you figure it out. You love them, and do whatever you guys want, but I'll just be somewhere else. And it was like so life-giving for me, right? I was like, this is fueling me. But what is it for you? I want you to think about it. If you could fill in the blank, what fuels you? If I could just have a shower, coffee, a break, a clean house, a rich conversation with a friend. What is your blank right now, today? Not like in general, but right now, let's see, what time is it? 10 o'clock, Thursday morning. What do you need right this second? Fill in the blank, take a quick minute, and then we'll talk. Okay, we're gonna keep going since this is just the first start. I'd love to hear a couple answers, like just right off gut, if anybody wants to reply. What if you had blank, then you would be able to function better today. What's the blank for any brave sharer? Time alone? In quiet. Yeah, quiet feels so good on your ears. Like, it literally makes your ears feel good. Adults? Adult conversation, massages, and a nap. Very good. All good things. Have y'all heard of Treat Your Feet? That's good. $30. That's a good little thing for this phase of life. But okay, good. So if you really got those things, those fill in the blanks, do we really feel like that would be enough? I think is the question. You do? You think it'd be enough? But then what about when the massage is over, right? Or like when the adult conversation might fall flat, or maybe it doesn't fall flat. Maybe it's good. But the point is we need more than just what we think we need. So let me suggest a few ways that we can fill up. First one is kind of sounds trite and silly, but I think it's very powerful to know who you are. I think as women, we might feel like, oh, well, I'm just a mom. Like, I kind of just will fall into this mom role and just kind of go through the motions that every other mom's doing. But God has designed each of us uniquely, and I think it's powerful when we understand who we are. And that really helps us play a part in God's greater story when we can identify that. I think also when we know who we are, we can start to operate out of conviction instead of guilt. Like, I should be this kind of mom. Like, I should be doing X, Y, and Z. But when you know who you are, you can say, that's not me. And, like, that's okay. And here's what is me. And I'll operate out of my conviction instead of out of guilt. A little, like, counseling thing I remember is conviction causes action. Guilt causes paralysis. So when you feel guilted over something or guilted into something, you kind of freeze. It's like, I don't like this. I don't like who I am. You know, I'm stuck. Whereas conviction, you move into action. Okay, so for example, say your gift is hospitality. Probably a great idea would be hosting maybe one or two of your friends. Say, bring your kids over. I'm going to make some PB&Js. Like, y'all come over. It's a beautiful day. We'll let the kids play toys and games and all that. This will be fun. Okay. So when they leave, your house might be a mess, yes, but because you know who you are, because you know your strength is hospitality, you'll probably feel pretty full, right? If it's not your strength, you will be ragged, right? You'll be resentful. You might be, like, angry at your friend that, like, you were trying to bless. You know, by the time they leave, it's like, why did you even come and bring all your kids and you destroyed my house? Well, that's a sign. It's probably not your gift. So maybe don't initiate that next time, okay? Exactly. Another thing is, what about like the whole morning quiet time situation? You know, I am a serious morning person. I get up every morning at 4:30. I work out. I spend time in the Word. But that's how God made me. God did not make my husband like that. God did not make some of my friends like that. But I have freedom because I know that that's how God made me. Now, the thought of staying up till midnight, the way some of my other friends operate, it makes me want to die. Like, I'm just like, please no. But I just know that's how he made. So for me, when somebody suggests a morning quiet time, I'm like, yes, that's registering. I can totally swing that. But for people who struggle, who need their sleep in the morning, it's okay. Like, it's okay to say, I'm not a morning person and I don't do morning quiet times. That's okay. All right. But know who you are. That's important. The second thing is knowing God. Okay, this is kind of hard when you grow up in the church or you kind of know the language, like, you know, corporate worship, time in the Word sort of loses its power. But if you really think about it, corporate worship is a means to receive grace from God. Like, there is something alive in that room across the hall every Sunday morning. I had my middle son, Barrett, was in there with me one week, and he was, like, looking at me during the worship, and I had tears, I was crying, and he's like, Mom, and I'm like, shut up, you know, stop. No, not really, but I was like, oh, what, you know, and he's like, you got, like, streams running down your cheeks, or water's running down your cheeks, something like what a four-year-old would say. And I was like, I know, because something is happening here where my soul is being filled. Like, I am receiving from the Lord right now. It's not just an excuse for me to take a weekly shower and do my hair, you know? I remember, actually, Margot in the back, when we were in this space, she was like, have you ever seen so many women with these mermaid curls down, dropping their kids off on Sunday morning? Like, how did they get their mermaid curls every Sunday morning in their hair? I'm like, it's true. Everybody shows up on Sunday morning. It's more, corporate worship is more than just a place where you can come, fellowship with friends, see familiar faces, hear a good sermon. I mean, it is you are uniting with the Lord in spirit and in truth. And that is like so powerful. So just preparing your hearts and thinking, I'm about to sit here and engage with the creator of the world, the creator of me, of my soul, and he is going to fill me up so that I can go out. It's just a beautiful thing. So I would say corporate worship is a huge way to receive and to be filled. And then obviously in the word, I just always go back to what Jen Wilkins says, your heart cannot love what your mind does not know. And when you are in the word, you're knowing God and you fall more in love with him. When you're not in the word, it's just not happening. It doesn't mean that you don't have a relationship with God or whatnot, but it just means you have this ability to know him more, to love him more, and to be more filled. And then that way you're not looking for all these empty pursuits to fill you. You know, if you're full on him and feasting on his word, it beats all the other options the world's trying to throw at us. So we'll touch more on the word part in a little bit, but I did just want to make sure I brought that up. And the truth is, like, you can't develop an appetite for something you're not tasting, right? So I love Brussels sprouts, but I never knew I loved Brussels sprouts until a couple years ago. And I'm like, why would I ever turn away Brussels sprouts? Like, for my whole 30-something years of life. Well, that's because I had never tasted them. I didn't develop an appetite for them because I wasn't tasting. The same thing goes with the word. So you will develop an appetite for things that you're tasting over and over again. The third thing is limiting your time in Babylon. Does anybody understand what I mean? Like, just an initial. Babylon, a few years ago, Randy did a sermon series on the book of Daniel, and basically, quick flyby of what happened in Daniel. So the Babylonians overtook God's people, and they picked out, like, the creme de la creme, like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, all the, like, elite of God's people. The king pulled him into his camp and said, I want you to serve kind of in my area. And so that's what Daniel did. So Brandy basically said during this sermon series that there are two worlds that we live in, Babylon and Zion. And in those worlds, there are ladders that we climb. So in Babylon, it's the kingdom of the world. So it would be things like money, fame, success, fashion, being that mom, you know, having it all together. But then in the ladder of, on the ladder of Zion, it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, just the fruit. And so I would say, do a check in your heart and ask yourself, what ladder am I climbing at any given time? When you start to feel maybe insecure in relationships or maybe about your physical appearance or in your mothering, take a step back and think, am I living on the expectations of Babylon or of Zion? It would be a good moment for repentance and to hop off one ladder and jump back onto the ladder of Zion if you find yourself over in that world a little too often. I actually, even on my phone, I have like a category square, and I throw all my apps in that one square, and I just view that square as Babylon, like categorize it as that. It's like my Nordstrom app, my Instagram, all my social media. So I know I'm making a conscious decision to enter into Babylon, but I'm not going to stay there, okay? So that is helpful for me just to know I want to be on the ladder of Zion. I want my kids to eat the fruit that comes out of me, and I can only have that fruit if I'm climbing that ladder of God's kingdom. So, and then the last one is pretty evident, but life-giving friendships. I think we all need those. I think we need to know the difference in life-giving and life-taking friendships. And I would just challenge us, honestly, to leave kind of the life-sucking friendships the dysfunctional friendships. I say, like, why don't we leave those kind of in the teenage years? Your kids don't need a mom who's worried about their friend gossiping about them, right? Like, you don't need to worry about that. Like, God is doing something new in your life, and he is coming to redeem and restore friendships. And his design for friendships is to be life-giving and not life-taking. So know the difference. And don't run from dysfunctional friendships, but be aware. Be aware. So my question to you guys, have some personal reflection time. Just of these one, two, three, four modes of filling up, where do you feel like you're strong? And where do you feel like, what mode do you feel like is a challenge for you right now? So take some time and think about that. All right, girls, I hate to break up some seemingly good-sounding conversations, but let's move on to the next section, and then we'll give you some time at the end to continue picking up your conversations. Alrighty, so given, hopefully you guys came to some good conclusions on your strengths and maybe some challenges with those methods of filling up. Let me suggest, this is, like I said, this is not a one-size-fits-all type topic, so, but this is where I do think it is one-size-fits-all, and where it comes down to love. So I think what fuels everything when love is at the core, that's the answer. So I have a couple thoughts on love, just as in terms of obviously marriage, but also in parenting. The first thought is love being a choice and not a feeling, right? So I think we've probably all heard that. But imagine if love was just a feeling. Like, pretty sure Jesus never would have gotten to the cross if his love for us was based on a feeling. I think it's pretty evident in the word that he was not feeling excited about what lied ahead for him, right, in the garden. But what led him to the cross was his love for us. So it wasn't his feeling. It was a choice that he said, I'm going to override my feeling of knowing what's coming, the torture, the torment, the beating, all of that. I'm going to override that by choosing the love. And I think about that for us. Like, what do we not feel like doing? And how does that resonate to our kids? You know, like, I don't feel like potty training you. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel like counseling you through another temper tantrum. Like, I don't feel like disciplining you. It's excruciating. It's constant, you know? I don't feel like picking up after you. I mean, the floor after the kids eat. Like, I just don't feel like it. I waited too late in the game to just get a dustbuster. I don't know why. But, like, what? Who has a dustbuster? Like, that, I mean, brilliant. I'm like, I don't feel like sweeping five times a day, but the dustbuster's great. Oh, well, maybe you need to reinvest because they're helpful. Yeah, exactly. So love is a choice, not necessarily a feeling. And I'll skip down to what Randy normally says. He says, love is a commitment based upon the will of God, often undergirded by an emotion. So the emotion is there. That's such a man's description of love, too. I texted him. I was like, what's that love quote you normally say? And he's like, and I was like, gosh, that's such a man way of saying it. But you're mansplaining. But there is truth into that. I mean, it is a commitment, and it's choice, and it's based upon God's will. And the feeling can be there. So it is possible for the feeling to be there, and it's good. Love is active. Love moves towards a person and not away from them. So when your kid is doing something that a kid is doing, and you're repulsed by it, you don't understand it, you're like, what's going on here? Instead of throwing your hands up and saying, I'm out of here, move in, enter in. And this goes on with the next point of, this is our mantra, me and Dave and I, in our home. Love is not efficient. We say that so many times every day because nothing is easy or fast with kids. And when you try to get them all out the door or get them to church or get them to the play date or get them to, it's like everything takes forever. But I had a friend tell me, remember that it's their day too. Like, you are just stressed about getting in the car, getting to church, but like they're playing together as brothers and they're building a friendship. Like, they're having a moment. Isn't it remarkable to know that your kids are real humans? Like, think about it. We have so much control over them at this phase. We choose what they eat. We choose what they wear. We choose where they sleep. We choose when they're going to be potty trained. We choose everything for them. That you kind of stop thinking about their humans. You kind of feel like they're just your little doll that you have to keep alive, you know? But it's like they have real God-given desires and wants that they want to carry out. They're humans. So I had a friend who had twins, and they got pink eye at the same time, and then my friend got pink eye because of it, and she took them into the doctor, their little babies, and the doctor's like, okay, give this to her, give this to him 2 times a day, and then I'll prescribe you another set of drops. And my friend said, why? Because I'm, and he said, don't use their drops. And she said, why? Because I'm a human. And he was like, they're humans too. And she's like, oh my gosh, I know. I just meant like, I'm like a real person, like a grown up, you know, and they're real people too. And she's like, I know, I have twins. They're young. I'm dying here. Okay, give me a break. But anyway, it's like this, it was hilarious. And we still laugh. They're teenagers now. And we're like, why? Because I'm human. But I mean, it's true. So remember, it's their day too. They want to live just like we want to live. This is kind of funny. My boys right now, it's great, but it's also horrible because it's great because Dave and I can like sleep in now and they'll just like go downstairs, play, make breakfast, whatever. Well, that's where it's horrible is that they want to like start making us breakfast. So I just picture 3 little boys in the kitchen. They have no business being there. And I'm talking eggs. Like the other day we got eggs with like Brussels sprouts in them, all mixed. They brought them. And then one of my kids brought me coffee, and it was, like, white in my coffee cup. I was like, why is my coffee white? And they're like, oh, because I know you like cream in it. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, you just poured the whole thing of cream in here. And he's like, try it. Try it, Mom. And we're like, oh, gosh. So my husband's over there eating those nasty eggs. And we're like, did they wash their hands? You know, boys, and we're just faking it, but they can tell, you know. I'm like, oh my gosh, love is not efficient, you know. They're little people wanting to serve and wanting to have their day too. So, anyway, I think too, just like a practical way of really implementing this is, what about like when your son or daughter wants to help you bake in the kitchen and you're like, no, not a good idea. But, like, it's so good for them, you know? And yes, it's going to be messy. And yes, you might have some like cross-contamination situations going on there. And you probably don't want to eat what they make, but it's going to be long, potentially frustrating, but it's worth it. You know, you're building memories. You're doing an activity with them. And it's not going to be quick and easy and fast, but that's a part of helping them grow up, okay? They're little humans too, so remember that it's their day too and that love is not efficient. So I want to conclude with giving y'all some actual time to spend in the Word this morning. So in a second, I would actually love for us to kind of split up and just kind of get a little area of alone time. Because I think that is a gift that we often deprive ourselves from as young moms, just to say, I'll get to it later, or I can sort of do like a verse, you know, like 10 minutes or something, but often I forget it, you know, by the end of the day, that kind of thing. But I would love for us to just get some time. I'm going to put some scripture up there, and I'd like to ask you first, kind of where you are in relationship with your Bible right now. Sounds kind of funny because the Bible's not like it's a noun, but it's also a person, God's word. And so where are you? John Piper would say, sometimes we can view our Bible as a wall, like literally like you look at it and it's just black and white letters on a page. There's nothing. It's kind of a block. A wall, a portrait, where you look at it, you think it's beautiful, maybe you're inspired by it, but it still doesn't really move. It's just kind of stuck to the wall, right? It's just hanging there. But you acknowledge its beauty and its power and all of that. Or we can look at the word as a window. And which obviously I think that goes without explanation, but I will. It unlocks just the freedom, the hope, the confidence, the creator when you look at the word through the word like it's a window to more. And so I would just give you guys, during this time, I want you to really answer a question in your heart, only you can. What's your relationship like with the word right now? Is it a wall? Are you stagnant? Do you really not care? Would you rather scroll Instagram? Where are you at there? Is it a portrait? Is it something that you would say it's pretty, but that's kind of it? Or is it a window? If it's not a window, pray and ask God. You have time this morning. Pray and ask God. Change this in me, Lord. Like, would this be a window? Let this be a window. This word is alive. It's active. My dad gave my son, my oldest son, one of his very special Bibles. My dad's a pastor as well. And it was when he was ordained, he got this Bible and he gave it to Wyatt recently. And they opened up, they were at dinner and my dad opened it up and he was kind of walking Wyatt through it. And then when we got home, Wyatt said, "Mom, it was the weirdest thing. Like when Jackpot opened up the Bible, it was like this whoosh just like went all through my body." And I'm like, not a charismatic person. I'm like, that is the spirit of God, buddy. Like that is God's spirit. I texted my dad. I was like, listen to what Wyatt just said. And he's like, "Polly, I completely felt the same thing." So it's alive. Like what you have, it's going to be on the screen. But what you have is real. Like it is God speaking to you. So I chose 1 Corinthians 13, which is often the marriage verse. Again, often some long-time Christians might be like, "Oh, you know, the love passage." It's so powerful. Don't just chalk it up and say, "Oh, I know this." You know, really, really dig into it. I pick this because there are times where I feel like a clanging cymbal and I'm just making noise in my house. And I don't want that. And that's what I am when I'm not loving my kids. I'm just noise. So I'm going to give you guys a few minutes to do the first part. Remember, ask God or just be real with God. What do you see? Wall, portrait, window. And then look at this scripture. If this doesn't keep like sketching out on us, these first three verses. And this just kind of answer like, what does this mean about love? And what does this mean for me? And since this is a Moms Connect thing, I'd love for you to apply this to your kids, like the way you're mothering right now. And maybe with your spouses too, that might be helpful. But try to apply this. What does this mean for me as a parent, my children, today? Okay?